what I'm going to do, I don't know if I'll be the one doing it every time, but I'm going to go back and listen to that little part there, about 10 minutes worth, where sort of write down some of the highlights of what that word is, and so that we can keep a record of it, and I'll even post it to you guys, send it out to you, so we can be praying into it. But it almost felt like it wasn't for me to preach, but it was to let them preach. So I'm not going to try to do a lot today, because I want to keep us here forever. But we're going to introduce this part, this section of prayer, because today we start in the partnership part, in terms of intercession and personal petition. But we'll just sort of make an introduction and go there. Amen. I'm just encouraged about how much God's showing so many of you. It's really cool. Well, I'll pray after I tell the funny story. It's funny, but not funny. I talked to Dan yesterday because I was at Blue Jean today. I thought, Dan, what's their protocol account? What are they doing about? Because I haven't been anywhere but here. And so he talked to me, and that's what I told him. And I was very honest about this. Not that football is irrelevant on Sunday mornings, but I was actually rooting for Auburn. I wanted to see Auburn win. I don't like Georgia. I like Georgia's estate. I just didn't like the football team. And so I watched part of it, but it didn't seem to be going really well, but I didn't watch the rest of it. But again, I was rooting for Auburn. I wanted to see Georgia lose. So this is where it's my thought. Something's right here, because I didn't know how the score ended. So this morning when I got up really early just to pray, just before I prayed, I just hit Siri and said, Siri, what was the Auburn-Georgia score yesterday, final score? And Siri comes on and says, Georgia trounced Auburn, whatever the score was. I thought, well, that is really personal to say. You know, I thought, I've always believed a real person lived in there. And they're obviously a Georgia fan, so I thought, that was pretty. I thought, okay, now you're stepping over the line, Siri. But God, it is demonic. Yeah. Gee, Manetti. Anyway. Well, let's pray. Well, you want to pray for me? Amen. Well, we've been talking about prayer. We've said that prayer has three assignments. One is intimacy and encounter. That's one, intimacy / encounter. Secondly, is connected to that really closely, is discovery, in that context of just beholding His beauty, just being with Him, worshiping Him, hearing His voices speak in terms of discovery. That's my favorite part. It's always how I start my time in prayer. But the third assignment is partnership. That we get to partner with God in terms of seeing His sovereign will manifested in our lives and in the lives of others. So I really like what Luke said, too, about just all the different promises. This is a time when we're going to see a lot of fulfillment of promises. And my prayer for all of us is that we will know how to pray more effectively. We'll understand some things about prayer. It's not so much about a how-to, that I'm going to share a lot of things that are hows or what about prayer. I'm not really a list guy, but I think lists are good. I usually might keep a short list of things that are more critical but I just trust the Lord when I fold into the time of personal petition and intercession. I just kind of trust the Holy Spirit, pray in the Spirit. I just trust the Spirit to kind of show me what I'm supposed to pray into that day. There are things in my own personal life I can pray into. There are things about other people I pray about. That's intercession. Now, I do try to keep a journal of the things I see happening, because they're encouragements to me to go back and go, wow, God does answer. God does do cool stuff. So that's why journaling is really significant. When we get towards the end, and we probably have another good 6 weeks or more about prayer. Because I want to spend a couple of weeks on petition, so a couple of weeks on intercession, maybe just one. I want to do one Sunday on just the greatest prayer ever, the Lord's Prayer. It's like the great prayer that we can take out and take it out for a spin all the time. That's powerful. But also some very practical, like how-tos. Some things like how to keep a journal, how to, you know, that kind of stuff. That so that we, at least you have some tools in your toolbox in terms of praying. For those of you who are more organized than I am, again, lists are good. For some people, it's really important. So what I'm going to give you when I get to the parts about some particular tools, that'll help those who don't do lists and for those who like to do lists. Okay? So just a couple of introductory remarks. Just be reminded that behind the veil, the place of prayer, not only is your voice sweet to the Lord, according to the Song of Solomon 2, but he says your presence is lovely. That word means fit. You fit there. You belong there. I just was reminding or sharing with Blue Jean this morning, this is wonderful reality that we get to participate in Jesus' relationship with the Father. And that because we're in Christ, seated in the heavenly places, when the Father hears our voice, it's as if he hears the voice of Jesus. Being citizens of heaven and sojourners here, we are most at home in prayer. I think that's one of the reasons the enemy fights it so much. Because he doesn't want us to walk in this world with a deep sense of home that we carry with us. We live from prayer. We spend most of our time out here living in this world, but we have to make sure we're living from the place of intimacy and partnership. This is, I think, just encouraging to me. I wrote down, the Lord spoke this to me. In the place of prayer, we're invited to be what we feel like in the moment, but always rediscovering who we really are in Christ. God's a big boy, and he can handle what we feel like in the moment. But what he always does is call us back to the reality of who we are as new creations. He never leaves us in that place we started. I've discovered I never come out of the place of prayer the way I started. Here's another thing, especially for you planners. This is a really important word for us in leadership here. Pray first, plan later. Don't waste time asking God to bless your plans. He will only bless his. The scripture says we live by the words that proceed out of his mouth. He won't live by the words that proceed out of our mouth unless they come out of his mouth first. God so loved the world that he did not send a committee. But we have a good committees here. We have committees. Jimmy's got a great committee that's helped through the grounds and all this stuff. But even in those places, pray first. Don't plan and then ask God to bless your plan. Pray and get God's plan. He'll bless that one. Amen? This is a quote from a man named A.J. Gordon. He's been gone to be with Jesus for a long time. Anything about any subject that you can find written by him, you should get it. He said this, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed. Pretty cool, huh? I like it. This little part is going to be the one thing I'll do today. I've read these scriptures to you before, so if it seems familiar, here, bear with me, but it speaks a truth I think is significant. In terms of personal petition, let me read this verse to you to kind of whet your appetite, because I want to, in this series, is to raise your appetite for prayer, to whet your appetite, again, I said, to help us revision what prayer is all about, how cool and powerful and awesome it is. This is from 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence which we have before him, or toward him. Now, it's our confidence that we have, it's toward him. This is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now listen to me. Which means if we ask something that's not according to will, his will, thank God he's like going, la, 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 la. But if we ask things according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the request which we have asked from him. If you can ask in his will, he hears. If he hears, he'll say yes. Now, I don't want to lower our expectations about prayer so that we feel comfortable about our experience. I want to blow your expectations out of the water. And I want us to raise our expectations. Same thing about praying for people who are to get healed. If we lower our expectations and we accept normal is that people rarely get healed, then most of the time our expectations will be met. But when we raise our expectations to a biblical level, then expectations are the tiptoes that faith stands on, looking for things to happen. Expectation, faith is the substance of things what? Expected, hoped for, on your tiptoes, looking for it. And so I'm not afraid to share these words like that word from 1 John, because I want us to raise the level of our expectation and then go from there. Amen? We're biblical Christians. We stand on the words. We want the word to set the standard. So we're going to talk about today, for a few minutes, his part and our part in general about personal petition. And really, this is sort of an overview, this his part, our part, about personal petition and intercession, the whole issue of partnership, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 5. These two scriptures tell the same story about a battle that David had with the Philistines. But it says something uniquely different in both scriptures. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 20. But David came to Baal-perazim and defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters. Therefore, he named the place Baal-perazim, the Lord of Breakthrough. And that's where the popular term, I mean, it's like one of the most popular terms in Christianity, breakthrough. You hear the word destiny and breakthrough more than any other words by any other preacher in all the world. That's what they talk about. Again, David asked the Lord, should I go up against them? And the Lord said to him, go up, and I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. And it says, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters. In 1 Chronicles 14:11. Same story. He asked the Lord, should I go up against them? And the Lord said, go up, for I will give them into your hands. Okay? But it says this in verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 14. And they came to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there. And David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand, by the breakthrough of waters. So which one was it? Was it God did it and David didn't, or David did and God, no. God did it, but David was partnership. He had to act. Amen? Look in Revelation 5, and this will probably be the one thing we'll do, and then we'll end it. if you guys read the devotionals that I write, and I don't blame you if you don't, you hear me talk all the time, it's probably just what you want to do is read something that I say every day the rest of your life. But in Revelation 5, we have an angel holding this book. And it says in verse 1, I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a book written inside and on the back, and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. And I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book and to look into it. And one of the elders, one of the church, said to him, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out of into all the earth. And he came and he took it out of the hand, right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, worthy art thou to take the book, to break its seals, for thou wast slain, to purchase for God with thy blood men and women from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. I like the way it says, and this is the Passion Translation, and when the 24 elders and the four living creatures saw the Lamb had taken the scroll, they fell face down at the feet of the Lamb and worshipped him, each of them having a harp and a golden bowl brimming full of sweet fragrance, incense, which are the prayers of God's holy ones. In verse 10, you have chosen us to serve our God and formed us into a kingdom of priests who will reign on the earth. If you remember again how chapter 4 starts, which is like our great beginning, foundational thing about prayer, where there's one who's sitting on the throne and he calls John, this old man, to get on board. That's what the word come up here. Get on board and I will show you what must take place in the midst of these things. So you have sovereign king on the throne saying, come up here, get on board, open your eyes, and I will show you what must take place. And then when you get into chapter 5, there's this book. And this book is what? This book that's sealed is the human story. Your story, the story of humanity, and it's unfolding. And who is worthy to get that book, break its seal, and to look into it? Only one who's overcome. The Lion of Judah and the slaughtered lamb. He's worthy because he has changed the human story. It wasn't just sealed. Somehow it's changed because of him. The cross changed everything. Everybody doesn't say yes to the cross, but Jesus opened the seal. He overcame what man had set in stone about mankind's destiny and mankind's story. Your story and my story, apart from Christ, was set in stone to be one of tragedy and chaos. And so the 24 elders and the four living creatures, they fall down before him, and each one has a harp, and each one has a bowl of incense, which is the prayers of the saints. And then he makes a declaration. You have chosen us to serve our God and formed us into a kingdom of priests who reign on the earth. So I'm going to say this quickly so we don't get bogged down. Here's the Lord, the slaughtered lamb, the victorious lion, alone can open up human history, the story of human history. somehow the prayers of the saints partner with him in framing human history. Your personal history and the history of this world. Then we'll talk about that more next week. We have more time. But here's some three things. The sovereign king sits on the throne. He shows us in prayer what must take place. And then he invites us through prayer to partner with him in causing that to happen. That affects your life personally and beyond. To reign on earth from this place. Do we reign in life through the one Christ Jesus as we walk out and abide in Christ? Yes. We also, in a very powerful way, participate reigning on earth in union with Christ from the place of prayer. How can God be sovereign and yet somehow what we do in partnership with him, in union with him, help frame the human story? That's the wonder of it all. And what we'll look at later, when we especially get into the intercession, or maybe we'll do this next week, is from Revelation chapter 8, if you remember those scriptures. It talks about the bowls of incense, the prayers of the people. And God took them and the angels cast them back down to the earth with lightning and thunder and earthquake. Now, I don't know what all that means, but I can tell you something. Earthquake shakes things and changes things. And when we pray, we partner in union with him. It shakes things. It changes things. The book that's now been opened, and the story that Jesus changed from the cross, we participate in framing the outcome of that and enforcing the victory of Jesus, releasing the will of God in our lives and in the lives of others. And it comes down like an earthquake, thunder, lightning, and earthquakes. Okay? I just think that's cool. And that's one of the things that I have revisioned in my life over the years. I'm not just mumbling some little something just dribbling off the bottom of my lip. When I pray, we said this earlier, all of heaven is silent for 30 minutes, it said. I don't know how long that is in heaven, but there's something silent about my prayer. And then the result of the things I pray that are in union with the will of God, they impact earth like earthquakes. I'll just read this one little thing, and then we'll stop. No, I won't. We'll wait. Man, that's so hard for me to do. It's the toddler in me that never, ever grew up. Oh, no, now, now, now. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Okay. Father, thank you for your word, cause it to go deep inside of us. Awaken our hearts to want to know these things, God, in light of what we even heard prophetically today. That somehow, because of our union with Christ, Lord, that we are in union with the Advocate. When the Father hears us, he hears Jesus and those things that come from the throne crash. Change things. Yes, Lord, thank you that prayer does change us, but God, you use prayer to change things. To help change, to help frame. You've sovereignly chosen for us to rule